vast income from cable, from TV, or who have vast public, private fortunes and consider having a ball team, social structure, or social and
thing. Booster for them.
Yeah. Social status symbol, yeah, to have a ball field, and can afford to pour money into it. And see, Pittsburgh now has Cleveland and Cincinnati, who have big ball teams, mm-hmm, and so people won't come from their surrounding areas when those areas are closer. Mm-hmm. So the Pirates are something that I would take a hard look at and would think twice about investing any taxpayers' dollars into them.
Yeah, I'm not supposed to comment, but I agree with everything you said.
Well, and this is on, and as I said, if I had been dead in government, yeah, this is what would be happening today. Yeah. I'd say to the Pirates, go whenever you
go
want.
Go do the best you can.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly. And it's not a city problem.
Yeah. Yeah, that's certainly true.
But of course, I have a lot of people who don't agree. Yeah. But that was my opinion.
Okay. I have another question. You stressed pretty strongly that you're a people mayor, and in fact you've been a people person all your life.
Yes.
Is that the appropriate stance? Wait a minute. Who built Pittsburgh? The people came when Carnegie and Frick and Pitcairn and, you know, I can go through Mellon, essentially did what they did. I'm not going to describe all they did. And they came because the jobs were here.
Right.
Now, if money goes to social services, that doesn't lead to anybody coming here. And these birds who did come came because they could make a buck here. Okay, now, is it right or wrong to focus on people or infrastructure or these prospective, what I would call entrepreneurs? That's a tough question for
you. I believe that I added another dimension.
Which was
a people person that they never had. That was just another dimension to going after businesses, and I did that exclusively. I went to the Duquesne Club and met with every corporate people in Pittsburgh and was invited to all of their meetings. Mm-hmm. We spent a lot of money on our URA giving money to,
yeah,
come to corporations to come to Pittsburgh. Being a people person was just another facet that I added to government that the other mayors didn't have. I went into neighborhoods, I listened to people with their problems because I felt sorry for them. They had not been heard from for years, and I listened to them and helped them. And this became a matter really of housekeeping. I listened to them and I went out and did what had to be done. But that was just another facet to the administration. By and large, we went after corporations. For years, I went to St. Louis to fight with the May Company because they wouldn't give up gimbals. Eventually, I accomplished it.
Mm-hmm.
So I did those things as well as being a people person.
Yeah.
You see, the problem is that a lot of these things are elusive. Can I say to you that I went to St. Louis and talked to the people, to the May Company? I went to New York and talked to Macy's when I wanted them to come here. These things are elusive because after all the effort I put into it, they didn't come.
Mm-hmm.
But we did do all of these things. We did try and encourage businesses.
Well, part of the reason they didn't come is the same story I told you about. I was not allowed to put another factory here.
That's exactly right. And we did have some success. We have a lot of small companies came here that nobody knows about because it's an elusive thing. And of course, I always point to Union Switch and Signal. We worked on that for years. Get them to come to Second Avenue. I had hoped, if I had stayed, to develop more along Second Avenue.
Yeah,
that's a wonderful location.
Terrific location. It'll happen, but it'll be very slow.
Sure.
Yeah. And it'll be a snowballing, too. It'll be a snowballing type of an effect. You were talking about you meet business people. You've gone to Duquesne Club and so on. Question. I'd like you to mention some of the names of the people you met at that club and around business. Now, wait a minute. And do you have any feeling or appraisal of any of them that might be worth logging? I know. Who, did you know Maris of Westinghouse?
Of course. And I knew Vinsani of PPG.
Yes.
And Mr. Cowart of the Mellon Bank. We had periodic meetings where we discussed what the prospects of Pittsburgh, with all of the corporate leaders of Pittsburgh. I felt that we had corporate meetings. We encouraged them to make suggestions. We encouraged them to tell us. We had many organizations, the Southwest of Pittsburgh, Southwest Division of the State. We had many, many organizations that we talked with, that we encouraged, that we offered financial help to, so that I felt I met with all of them periodically and asked for help and got a lot of help from corporations.
Which ones were good, you think, might have been good for their companies? Which were dogs? I know some were dogs.
Oh, I know, and some were good. Now, Pittsburgh National Bank, for instance, they were wonderful.
Not just to you, to themselves I'm talking
about.
I meant
that they were good for the city as well as for themselves.
Right.
Pittsburgh National Bank gave many, many small loans. Mm-hmm. We had a problem there for a while, and it probably exists today, where if somebody wanted to buy a house and needed, say, a $5,000 mortgage, the banks didn't want them because there wasn't any profit in them.
Mm-hmm.
We instituted a system whereby they would get more city business if they would encourage these. And they did. Mm-hmm. And Pittsburgh National Bank was one of the outstanding ones.
That's right. There was a letter to the Wall Street Journal yesterday from PNB or about PNB saying exactly what you said.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
They were one of the ones who cooperated fully, and they did. They helped considerably. And I was very grateful to them. And when I see Mr. O'Brien, even now I'm in, there are others who just the dollar bank didn't do a damn thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
What about Mellon Bank?
Well, that's Mr. Collett. They were pretty good. But the outstanding person, of course, was Pittsburgh National.
Yes.
They were just wonderful neighbors and wonderful people in the community. The Mellon cooperated. They were good, too. As I said, there were a few who were not.
Did you run into anything as far as Alcoa is concerned? And I'm not thinking only about the city. In terms of your impression, whether these people could do something for their own company, which is really basic. Or for that matter, Maris I mentioned from Westinghouse.
I know Mr. Maris. The problem is that, it goes back to what you said in the first place, corporate headquarters have been leaving Pittsburgh. And big corporations, Alcoa, steel companies, are leaving Pittsburgh. These leaders who are in Pittsburgh who had corporate headquarters here, and look at how many, there's Gulf, there's Coppers, they left, nobody replaced them.
Yeah, Joy is going, I
yes.
think.
So that these corporate people left for the reasons that we said before. They felt that the tax base was not good enough for them, the labor problem was not good, and they wanted to go to the South, and many of them did. So, you know, corporations do basically first what's good for themselves,
not
for the community. Sure, not for the community. Many times they thought the combination worked out for both.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to provoke you to call some of these great and some dogs.
I'm not going to do that.
You're not going to do that.
I'll tell you, the ones that I did call dogs was my company.
Mm-hmm.
Because they refused to sell Gimbals because they didn't want any competition.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the asking price up so high that no matter how many buyers we got, we couldn't get them
to move it.
Mm-hmm. Finally, eventually they did, because I threatened them within an inch of their life. I threatened to go public and say what bad neighbors they were.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually they did. But that was one of the
Have
ones.
Have you been down to the store?
Oh, sure.
What do you think? How's it going?
Well, I think it's helped. It's a beautiful, Burlington is just beautiful, and they're going to develop more of that. And I think that's going to
I was there 2 days
going
ago.
To help. Mm-hmm. Don't you think it's nice?
Oh, I think so. I think it'll fill.
I think so. And I think that whole block then will probably come alive eventually if they work on it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was one of the dogs. And then, you know, we also had the problem when I was there, we wanted to do over Fifth Avenue from Grand Street to Wood Street.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath all of those buildings
mm-hmm.
are what they call vaults. They're not vaults, they're really the basements of these above the stores and the
mm-hmm.
businesses along those streets, you know. Well, they are not in good shape. If the fire truck should have to go on any of those sidewalks,
mm-hmm.
they would collapse. They would,
mm-hmm.
they're not holding up. So in order for us to develop that area, they had to rebuild that area over their basements
mm-hmm.
and over what they called vaults. They had they contended all along that when they went to their stockholders and they said to them, by fixing this up, this isn't going to bring any more business to our companies, therefore we're not going to spend any money. That's what stopped us from going ahead. And Kaufman's was the biggest offender. They said, we can't say to our stockholders, we're going to fix a sidewalk that's going to bring a lot of business to our store, because it isn't. So they were one of the ones that stopped the development of that, plus a few others along the way. Now the Union Trust was cooperating, and the Mellon was cooperating. They would be willing to rebuild their sidewalks because we were going to tear that all up and
mm-hmm.
make sort of a nice area that, and hopefully that those stores would be filled. Well, a lot of the business wouldn't go along, and it was a private industry, private property,
mm-hmm.
and the city couldn't do it. So you see, a lot of things are stopped by uncooperative tenants, uncooperative neighbors.
Yeah. Well,
you see, everything isn't black and white.
Nothing.
Yeah. So that a lot of these things that people say, why don't you do this and why don't you do that, there are factors, like I've just pointed out, that stops us.
Mm-hmm.
We went to great expense to have drawings made of the things that we could do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to ask you about a sort of the touchy relationship which is necessary, apparently, between the city and county commissioners. So talk about, you can talk about them individually.
I hate to say this because it may be unfair, may
mm-hmm.
not true. When I ran for office, Commissioner Forster wanted
mm-hmm.
My opponent. He wanted me to get out.
Yeah.
So
I remember
that.
That.
Yeah. And after I had been in office and filled out Mayor Caligiuri's term, I thought that there was a lot I could do.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to stay. I wanted to prove.
Mm-hmm.
He was very unhappy with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that during that early period, he opposed everything I did.
Yeah.
Everything I did. The relationship was not good.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, it softened up a little bit. We tolerated each other. But Tom Forster is the old school who will never accept a woman.
Yeah.
First off. He would never accept the fact that I opposed him and beat him.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't get the cooperation. On the other hand, Pete was great. Pete Flaherty. When we had a big problem, I talked to Pete about it, and he helped us solve it.
Mm-hmm.
We had several that were very, very urgent
mm-hmm.
that were solved. Toward the end, things got a little better. But I can't believe that they will give up or that they will give up any of their power and work with the city.
Mm-hmm.
They want all their little domain, and,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think things are going to change a lot. The commissioners want what they want, and I don't think it'll change too much.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things of any political power is you put your finger on it.
It's a matter of being practical. That's why do we have 165 communities around Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Each one of them will not get together. They're literally starving to death. They're bankrupt.
Yeah.
Yet they will lose Rankin, Braddock,
yeah.
and Homestead. I could name them in McKeesport. Yet they will not combine their forces.
Mm.
They will not combine their police departments, their fire departments, because each one wants their own jurisdiction, their own kingdom. So that's a fact of life.
You know, look, in business, in industry, there is something called creative destruction. Creative
yeah.
destruction.
Right.
That does not operate in the political realm.
Right. So that the politics that is not unique in business. That business people do the same thing.
They'll kill each when they have to, they kill the butlers. They go bankrupt.
That's exactly right, and this is what's happening in a lot of the communities around Pittsburgh. And that was one of the things that Pittsburgh complained about all the time. All of the communities came to town, to Pittsburgh, to work, to use our streets, to use our zoos, and our, but you know, they never wanted to contribute. So, but these are facts of life. I mean, you know, I don't know what changes there are or how you can change them, but that definitely is a fact of life.
Well, I've run out of what I had to ask you. And hope it was okay with you.
Oh, of course, of course. And I when I go out to places, I'm not an orator, and I like to go and answer questions. I go to a lot of functions where I'm invited to speak, and I tell them in front that I'm not an orator, I'm not a hotshot orator, but I do like to answer questions and tell people why things are as they are. What the background is, and then what could be done, and what I could have done, I would have liked to have done, and couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many, many things. We had budgetary restrictions, and so there was a lot of things I would have liked to have done, and couldn't.
Mm-hmm. My personal perception of the city, I've been here 31 and a half years, 31 years, has been that the declining industrial base has been such that nobody could have done any better
Absolutely.
Than we had.
Now,
I mean, this is it.
That's exactly right. I don't think anybody could have, because to begin with, I think the steel mills killed themselves.
Oh, that's a fact.
There's no question about it.
No,
so
that I
no
know.
Matter what the city did, there was, not, there was no way we could have stopped that, no matter what they did.
The mills and labor together.
Exactly. They're pretty guilty,
they're
and that's
guilty.
How I perceived it.
Yeah.
I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, and I had a big devotion for Pittsburgh, and I had great ideas of what I was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But the budgetary restrictions were declining population. There was no way. I tried everything. I tried cutting the wage tax, hoping to bring young people back. When it was, and another point that was so important is that Pittsburgh, in spite of our financial problems, we had an A1 bond rating.
That's right.
Murphy left it already.
Mm-hmm.
He was in there 7 months,
and
they missed a bond issue that cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
They made a big deal out of what he called a deficit, which is absolutely not true.
Yeah.
Because every mayor in the last 50 years has had tight budgets.
Mm-hmm.
We've
yeah.
always operated as best we can within our budget. We never complained about it. We never complained that it was somebody else's fault. We faced up to what it was and lived with it. And if I had been there, I would have never said that we have a $20 million deficit, because to begin with, we don't.
We don't.
Because we operate, at the end of each year, we always had a couple of $1 million deficit. We picked it up in the beginning of the next year. And it depends upon what fund. We had 20 funds in the city of Pittsburgh, and we had times when collections were better, times were not.
Yeah.
So that we never had that kind of deficit.
It's a dynamic, not a static situation.
That's exactly right. And we always had budgetary problems,
mm-hmm.
and we always lived within our budget. When I left the mayor's office, they were there. His committees were there. He had people come in.
Yeah.
We had transition teams every week. We had new transition teams who came in. They saw the budget. They knew everything that was in the budget. They knew what our chances were, what our revenue would be, and what the limitations were for revenue, where revenue would go up, revenue would go down. The pirates not playing is going to be a killer, because the entertainment tax was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, he's going to have the benefit of that 0.5% on the regional assets tax that I didn't have.
Yeah.
So that he's going to have some things that I didn't have to live with. But I never would have gone public and had the bonding company then cut our rating.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the future, every bond issue they go on is going to cost
money.
More. It's
going to
cost
right.
more, because we maintain, and you can believe me when I tell you that when we used to live with the rating agencies, when they finally gave us a rating, it was confirmed. It was good. They were not giving to giving bad rating. So, we could not have been in the shape that Murphy says.
I think that was a boner.
Sure. We would never have been given the rating consistently if it was not justified. And now, of course, he read that. Now the bond rating's bad. And so I criticize him along those lines. I have not done so publicly, because I don't want to demean him, and I don't want the people to have less faith in him. I want do a job. But we were on a good financial foot. Sure, we had budgetary problems, and sure, we operated closely. And every quarter, we did what we had to do. Lay off people, cut spending here, there, and someplace else, so that we maintained a balanced budget. And when he came in, he had a balanced budget.
Mm-hmm.
But what has happened here is a personality clash.
Yep. Yeah, no, there's no question about that. I wouldn't let that worry me if I were you.
It does worry me because
I know it does, but for heaven's sake, don't.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have a question, different question. That I
sure.
Weren't you in council when Pete Flaherty was mayor?
Yeah.
He was in a terrible crutch, wasn't he?
Oh, he was, and you know what?
He was wild.
He was, and when Calagiri took over,
yeah.
Pete was on an economy binge.
Yes.
He didn't buy a single piece of equipment. He would not hire mechanics. And so the yards were full of broken down trucks and cars and garbage trucks. When Calagiri came in, the situation was deplorable. Everybody thought he was nobody's boy, but he also didn't do a damn thing.
That's right.
When Calagiri came in, he was in terrible shape, but he didn't go public and he didn't complain about it and he didn't whimper about it and he handled it. And when I took over, things were not much better because the income, the revenues were not good, but we lived with it and we managed it and we went from year to year. I don't know what would have happened in 94 for 95, and 90, I can't predict, but I would say that we would maintain a no increase in tax and we would do what we had to do without whimpering and crying about it.
I imply from what you say, or infer from what you say, that you think about the Flaherty administration, which I consider to have been crucial for the city, about the way you do.
Yeah.
I think maybe he had no choices.
Well, I was in council, but Pete was feeling his oats. He thought he was going to be president.
He's going to be governor. President.
So that he did things his way.
Yeah.
And he thought that this was an impressive way to do things. As it was strictly his opinion, and he found out that it wasn't working out, and then he walked away from it.
Yeah. This nobody's boy business, it ended up being disgusting.
Exactly. And the press had, I had good press relations, he had bad press relations, it just wasn't working out.
He insulted the corporations so often.
Exactly.
Because he was, what was he, anti-establishment, wasn't he?
The point is, you know, of course, you learn through experience. I did a lot of things that if I had to do over, I would not have done, but you learn from experience. But there were some basic things that I learned in council. I was there for 12 years.
Yes.
And I learned basic things. I learned the city, I learned what the problems were,
and
I didn't have to have ward meetings or district meetings like Flaherty's having, or like Murphy's having, because I knew what the problems were.
Yeah.
It was a matter of getting enough money and working things out. Now, there's some districts in Pittsburgh that we have poured millions homeward. We have poured millions upon millions in there with recreation facilities, swimming pools, everything we could. No solution.
There's no solution. That's
sure,
right.
It isn't working out.
Yep.
But I tried.
Uh-huh.
But I knew where the problems were. I didn't have to go out to the neighborhoods.
Yeah, I was very cross at Pete. Because,
and I was too in council because we had a terrible time with him. The equipment was bad. We couldn't get him to come and tell us what was going on or what he wanted to do. You know, we were at odds with him all the time.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't talk to his previous supporters, of which, who I was one. He didn't talk to anybody, and then he wouldn't talk to the people he was supposed to talk to.
Or those of us in council. So that was an experience.
Yeah, but nevertheless, when he became county commissioner, you found him to be the most accessible.
I think he mellowed. I think he learned. And while Forrester was carrying on this little private feud with me, and it was a private feud, he was very angry with me for several things that I did when I settled the bus strike.
Yeah.
He was furious with me. Uh-huh. He called me up and said, "Don't you meddle."
Uh-huh.
And I said to him, "You wouldn't say meddle if you were talking to a man."
Uh-huh.
And then early on, he would speak of our Jewish mayor.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to him one time, Tom, you don't say our Irish governor. It infuriated me. For the first few times, it was a joke. I would say, show me Jewish grandmother. After a while, I became resentful.
Oh, absolutely.
I started calling them on it. I kept saying, I'm a grandmother, but nothing more, or even a grandmother. And they made a big issue of my age. Mm-hmm. Every time I had an interview, and finally I said to them, I'm 3 months older than when you asked me last.
Yeah.
Because this became an issue, you know, and then with him. So anyhow, when we really had some crunches, when we needed some big issues, Pete came through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As I said, I think he learned, he mellowed, and he, and I believe he had the interest of the city at heart.
He has the interest of the city at heart.
But I think that both commissioners are going to have a tough time next year. We have a whole crew of young men who are looking at that job.
Yes, I hope so.
And I think that's going to come to pass. I think the county administration needs looked at. Yep. See, they had nobody looking over their shoulder like we had council. Mm-hmm. Those crazies. They're really goofy and mean spirited. Furlough is the most mean spirited person I've ever met in my life.
Mm-hmm.
That bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
What you read, they're immoral. I mean, you read these things and
crazy.
They're true.
Yeah, and it's true. It's true.
Well, you know, you also said you were listening to the Larson account on TV.
Oh, yeah, I'm missing some of the...
Yeah, I know. I'm glad you're missing something on our behalf, but say something about it.
Well, my big problem with everything is that it could have been settled. I think Larson could have accepted a reprimand 2 years ago when it was first suggested, but the image of the highest court in the state of Pennsylvania, the Supreme Court of Pennsylvania, somehow has been tarnished.
Oh.
And that bothers me most of all because, you know, the law and the judges we're a country of laws, and the judges who administer them. And I wouldn't want anybody to lose any faith in them. I wouldn't want any of these allegations to be brought out and some of this pettiness. Really, that really bothers me, what it's doing to the image of the laws. Because, you know, if we don't have our courts and our laws, they need to be above reproach.
That's right. They have to be above
reproach. But that's only my opinion.
No,
it's true.
Because before I went to counsel, I worked in the Court of Common Pleas.
Uh-huh.
And so I learned the laws, and I learned lawyers, and I learned all of these things as well.
There was something in the paper the other day about you and the bus strike and Larson, and I don't remember.
What Larson alleged. See, when this all came about, I called Tom Forster and I said, "What is the situation on the bus strike?" He said, "I cannot see any change. We're going to have a meeting next Thursday." In the meantime, as I said before, I was a people's person. And my heart would go out to people. I met a colored woman who had to have a kidney dialysis. Couldn't get over the Allegheny General Hospital. In this building, we had a lot of old people who had day help and couldn't get here, who were desperate. I was really, it couldn't have been any more personal than if it happened to me. And so he said to me, "We're not having any more negotiations till next week," which was a week off, which meant there had been another week.
That was the commissioners.
Yeah, Tom Forster.
Yeah.
So I said to our guys, our solicitor, and Joe Mystic, who was my administrative assistant, who was a lawyer, I said, let's pursue the law. Mm-hmm. Let's look into all of this and see what we can find out. So they did. Joe came up with an old King's Law, what it was called. In order to pursue that, he had to go to the Supreme Court. At that time, Zappala happened to be in Pittsburgh the day we wanted to present the petition. So our solicitors went to him with the petition. Larson contended that, and of course Zappala acted on it. He told us what to do, how to proceed with it. Eventually, it came before the whole board, and since it was urgent, it was acted upon within a few days, the whole court. Larson contended that the city gave his brother bonding business. Zappala's brother bonding business, which is completely untrue. As a matter of fact, I didn't give him any business. I carried out the contracts that Caligiuri had had. Mm-hmm. And so Larson contended that because of the business that the city gave Zappala's brother, who were underwriters, that was why Zappala favored him. Completely untrue.
Yeah.
We went to him because he was the only one available that afternoon. Mm-hmm. We wanted to have that. It was a Friday afternoon when we wanted the pathonitory to enter it and to file suit. And that was the only reason. Eventually, the whole court sat on it and acted on it. Well, Larson, of course, is trying to taint Zappala and said that was why he did it, because his brother got bonding business. Completely untrue and proven untrue. And my solicitor, who testified last week, Mary Contour, who was the solicitor at the time, outlined what I've just told you, blow by blow, how we came to do this and how we came to get the law. And that it was at that point that Tom called me and said not to take it to court, mm-hmm. and I was meddling that.